take your Bibles, Matthew chapter 27, if you would. Thank you for having us. It is good to be here. It's good to get away from the coast, the beach. A lot of folks love to go there. I actually never did like the beach, believe it or not. You go to the beach, you're supposed to go fishing. And every time I go on fishing, I hardly catch nothing. And it's called fishing. That's probably why it needs to be. If we call catching it, maybe we have more faith and we catch more. But you go down to the beach, and what you have at the beach. Now, mark this down. You have retirees and escapees. And it's, but we've got some good folks at Bible Baptist Church. We've been there. We'll be celebrating starting our 17th year this December. And it's been a joy. We've seen God do a lot of work. Your church, some of you may not realize this, but back in 12 years ago, we were building a new sanctuary at our church. And your church gave a good chunk of change to us to help our ministry. And so you helped Bible Baptist Church, and God has written that down on your account. Thank you for giving. So as you think about giving more, the offering in December and the facilities that you need, God's not wanting us to necessarily build buildings. It's not, I know that's not Brother Billy's heart or your heart either. It's about building facility. You can house people and do more things. And let me challenge you today about your ministry. What's your ministry at Benson Grove? I heard a preacher say this, and it was really challenging to me. I want to challenge you today is that if I were to come up to you or you to come up to me, could you take me to the place you minister here at? It's real quiet. Wow, what happened? We need to find a place to minister, to do what God wants us to do. And whether it's shaking hands at the door, whether it's being an usher, whether it's just being someone that's encouraging. I've been in churches where they call people candy man. And they just have a pocket full of candy, and they just hand out candy to everybody. It was the little boy. He didn't want to let me get it. He had a lollipop, and I was going to try to get a lick off that thing, and he wouldn't let me have it. But find your ministry, wherever it might be. Say, God, show me. You see, we don't have you to build the church. We have the church to build you. And the ministry here is supposed to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and to magnify Him. And if we lift Christ up, guess what happens? It draws people. Well, you're in Matthew chapter 27. I want to read you Luke chapter number 9 and verse 23. Remain seated, if you would, this morning as I have a little bit of scripture to read. Familiar text of scripture, but my main text is going to be out of Matthew 27. It says, "And He said unto them all," this is the Lord Jesus, "if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." In verse 25, "For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway?" This morning, I want to talk a little bit about the cross. And before we go any further, let's pray. Thank you, sweet Jesus, for your love for us. Thank you for being willing to die for our sins. And Lord, I know there's so many people that are touched by this ministry at Benson Grove Baptist Church. There's people, I'm sure, watching it. They will watch it. There's some that will be acquainted with the different things they do. And I pray that what's done today would be uplifting to you. It would draw people to Christ. I pray we could lift Him up this morning. I ask you, Lord, you fill me with your Spirit and you'd use me. Help us not to get in the way. God, help my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord Jesus, do what only you could do in the hearts of our young people and adults, that we might look at the cross a little different today. In Jesus' name, amen. The Christian life, if you think about it, has gotten a whole lot easier in our era, in our generation, than it was back in the days of Christ. As you think about those that got saved in the days of Christ, they were persecuted. They were sought after. They were a lot of times were underground Christians. They couldn't publicly profess their salvation. That's where the sign of the fish had come to come to pass, where the Roman soldiers were seeking those that professed Christ, and so they had this secret sign of the sign of the fish, and they would come up with people, and they thought they might be a Christian. They'd take their foot, and they would just do a little line in the sand like that, and if the other person was a Christian, they would connect that line, and it would make that sign of the fish. They'd say, "Hey, I'm a Christian. You're a Christian. We can talk. We can fellowship." Back in those days, and even in different time periods of our history, there's been times when the Christian life was a scary life. Not today. Today, it's a lot of times it's a faddish thing. It's to become a Christian. It's just something I need to do. There's not much persecution that goes along with Christianity anymore. The early saints were persecuted and killed. You can read the book called The Fox's Book of Martyr and read all the different people that were pulled apart by horses, thrown in lions' dens, and eaten. And their children, they were said, "Renounce Christ, or we'll throw your kids into the lions' den." Can you imagine living in a day like that? It's coming again, though, I believe. I believe our country is turning to a place where they're going to hunt us out, try to find each of us, and make us deny Christ or kill us. But I find something that as you study the early life of the Christian, mostly they were persecuted because it fulfilled Scripture. It says, "Yea, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? Persecution." And today, not all, but most of the folks within religion, within Christianity, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. The Lord tells us here in Luke chapter 9 to take up our cross daily and follow Him. The cross here was a place of pain in Christ's day. It was a place of torture, a place of horrible death. Those that were crucified on the cross were often abused before, during, and they were, their legs were broken. They were ridiculed as a horrible place. If they didn't die quick enough, they would break the legs to prevent the extending of their life. The cross of Christ today would have to be carried by the prisoners. They would, as we think of Christ and walking on the Via della Rosa, and he bore that cross, and they'd have to even carry that which they'd be sacrificed on. His sacrifice wasn't to pay for his sin, of course, but his sacrifice was to pay for the sin debt of all humanity. He was willing to take up a cross and do what God wanted him to do. Taking up a cross is easy to do. Pick up a piece of furniture. It's easy to do. Jesus says, "Let any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross." We can pick up that cross. Did you realize in that verse that I just read to you in Luke is a verse that deals with a daily walk, but it's dealing with initially salvation. For you to be saved, you have to take up your cross. You have to be willing to give yourself as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's Romans 12, 1 and 2. For us to be saved, there's got to come a time in your life when you realize that there's a cross that God says. He says, "I want you to take up your cross." You willing to do it? That cross is symbolic of sacrifice. It's symbolic of pain at times. It's symbolic of suffering at times. It's symbolic of being lonely at times. It's symbolic of being without at darkness at times. Are you willing to take up that cross? A lot of folks, maybe everyone in here has done that. If you haven't taken up that cross, I hope you will. Taking up the cross that God tells us to pick up ought to cause us to think more godly, shouldn't it? Say amen there. It should cause us to be more spiritual. For most, it might do that. But then what I found out as I've lived a Christian life, I got saved December 5th, 1993. And when I got saved, I took up that cross. Jesus said, take up your cross. I denied myself. I said, hey, I'm going to follow you, Lord Jesus. I've become your disciple. I'm going to do this thing daily. And I walk and I read and I pray and I go to church. And then there's a time, and you might be there today. I believe some are, because God put this message on my life. You reach a plateau. Where you do your daily routines. It's going on. You've got your routines, but it just seems like there's no more growth. There's no more excitement. There's no more desire. There's no more oomph. You don't get up, can't wait to get to church. You kind of drag along and just get there when you can get there. Y'all been there yet? If y'all amen a little bit more, I'll preach quicker. Say amen. Oh. See, what happens if I don't get respond, I don't think you can hear it, so I have to keep repeating myself. And that's just not.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my sister. I'll pay her later. But I find that as a pastor for the years I have been, that we get duped by the devil. And the devil, what he does is he tells us that we're okay. He tells us that, hey, you've grown enough. You've taught Sunday school. You've shook hands. You've given. You've plateaued and you've stopped growing. But can I tell you that the Christian life is never supposed to be intended to have the mentality that I've grown enough and I don't need to do it no more. The dangerous thing we could ever say to ourselves is let somebody else do it. The dangerous thing that we could ever say to ourselves is that I've done my part. Let the younger generation do it. Friend, there's nowhere in the scripture that teaches that. On the contrary, it teaches that the elder women are supposed to teach the younger how to live that godly life. God showed me a truth here, and I used to only see that Luke 9 was a daily goal, that you take up that cross daily. But now I know that taking up this cross is first of all talking about accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And every day, on a daily basis, we renew that commitment. Not that you don't get saved over and over every day, but you renew, notice my words, that commitment. Lord, I got saved. You know why we celebrate anniversaries? It's a renewal of that commitment. You know what I'm going to do for my honeymoon tonight? We're coming to church. Can I get an amen? Yeah, we're coming back tonight. If we don't come back, oh my, I don't know what will happen. Our daily goal is to say, I'm going to grow a little bit more. Our daily goal is going to say, God, I want more of you. What happens when you take up your cross? We begin to awaken, or we awaken God's gift to humanity. You take up your cross daily. You take up that sacrificial life, that life that reflects Christ's life, and you begin to reflect and you begin to show Jesus in everybody's life. What separates you from everybody else in the Christian aspect is that if you are taking up your cross daily, you ought to be reflecting Christ's life. Taking up our cross means you've renounced false religions. And false religions isn't sitting in the corner. It is, but it's not necessarily talking about just a Buddha doll somewhere, or a false religion of paganism that someone's piercing themselves or whatever, but a false religion of saying, I want my way. We die to self. You want your way. It's not good. My ways are not good. God's ways are the ways that we're supposed to follow. Taking up our cross means we've renounced false religions. It means you've come out of sinful situations. And here's something very interesting you need to remember. You ought to be convicted of sin. Convicted of sin means what? If we get closer to God, I'm going to talk about this more tonight, the Lord leads me. The closer we are to God, the more sensitive we are to sin. The further away we get from God, the more desensitized we come to sin. We get farther away from God. What happened doesn't mean you're lost. Just means you're in sin. You're desensitized, and you say, "Oh, it don't matter. Oh, you know, they're Christians. They mean well. They're just not." We begin to make excuses, and finally, we live ourselves in that lifestyle. If you follow Christianity, when people got close to Christ, they wanted to be more like Jesus. Can I get a witness there? They didn't want to be more like the world. They wanted to take upon themselves the blood and the body of the Lord Jesus. They wanted God's light to shine through them so that when people looked at them, they saw Christ and not the world. Now, it takes me to this place. Is there more than just being saved? Yes. We learn of another cross. Jesus said, take up your cross. But we find in Matthew chapter 27 of another cross. It's a cross that we often forget about. We talk about it. We've said it even today. But look at this story. And through this story, the true story took place. It challenged my life to say, God, I've reached this plateau in my life. I've reached this plateau where I don't have to study no more. I've studied. I know enough about the book that I can preach off the cuff. I know about enough verses to quote. I can just quote the verses and I can make people think that I know more about you. I can make people think that I love God. I can tell, make people, I can shine before people so I get lifted up, or I can take up this other cross. Matthew 27, look down 27. Verse 27. This is the story of Simon. This is the story of Christ being led to Calvary, to Golgotha. It says, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him, put on him a scarlet robe, and when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Can you imagine people mocking God like that? And then they spit upon him. They took the reed and they smote him on the head. And after they mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on and led him away to crucify him. Look at verse 32. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. And look what it says. And they compelled him, they compelled to bear his cross. They compelled Simon to bear the cross of Christ. Now, for some of you who don't understand the context of the story, Simon was in the town for the Passover. Simon, I believe, was a Christian man, if you would. I mean, it was a kind of a premature term, but he was a man that had accepted the Messiah that was about to be crucified. He was there to follow through with Passover. He was there with his two sons, as other scriptures teach us, as Alexander and Rufus. He was a family man, if you would. He was a man teaching his children what God, thus saith the Lord, a good, godly man. He had already trusted him. He was, his presence there in that town was a sign that he believed in the sacrifice and he believed in what God told him to do. But that day was a day that we all must face. And maybe it'll be today for you. That day, I believe God allowed Simon to be where he was at with his children, with the sacrifice, because God wanted more commitment from Simon. Simon was there. He had committed to raise the lamb. He had committed to either raise it or buy it, or he sacrificed for that. He had committed already to travel to the city. He had committed to raise his children right and put them in Christian education. Amen. And he was there. But God said, I want you to grow more. See, it's easy to just hit that plateau, isn't it? It's easy to just say, well, we've already done it. We've built a good building. It's where we're at, Bible Baptist Church. See, we've got the nice building. We've got bus ministry. We have a Christian school. We have a thrift store. We have nursing home ministry. We have outreach ministry. We have all sorts of stuff. But if we're not careful, we'll plateau and say, well, we're doing it. It's all right. Here in this setting, we find that they're where they're supposed to be. If you would, if you in your mind's eye, just go along with me. Maybe this Christ walking by, this is a type of maybe New Testament Bruce Harbor. There was church that day. Here, the ruckus in the town was what's going on, and they were about to crucify people on the Passover. That was unheard of. But here, Simon said, I want to see whom I believed. And he finds himself there close to Christ. You see, we find that he's there in the crowd. You're in the crowd today. He's there in the crowd, and here comes the Lord Jesus. He had been scourged, beaten, bruised, spit upon, mocked, all that. The crowd was gathered and watching. Were they watching him? He was part of the crowd, wasn't he? That means yes. Amen. Somebody grunt. Amen. So, yeah. He was part of the crowd. He was sitting back. You see, I find that there's an interesting fact here is that God wants us to grow. And in order to grow, we have to be willing to make a greater commitment. But in order to get that greater commitment, oftentimes, you know who has to get us to do it? It's not the preacher. And you say, well, it's the Lord. Well, it's not even the Lord at times. We find in this text of Scripture, it wasn't a religious person that got him to think about a greater commitment. It was in the Lord Jesus, in a sense, telling him. But we find the Scripture says that the world, the crowd, compelled him to take up what? Another cross. But whose cross? They didn't say, come take up your cross. They said, take up his. They compelled him to take up his cross. Now, how God is so good, where maybe right by Simon, his little boys were there, that maybe Christ decided to fall at his knee and sit there, and they maybe it made the crowd say, well, somebody needs to take it, and who's going to do it? And they looked at him and said, you carry his cross. You see, this cross that he was about to take can be overall defined as a cross of commitment. Wouldn't you agree with that? It was a cross of commitment. And when we begin to realize that we've got to grow a little bit more, that we've got to commit a little bit more, or we've got to do more of what God will, in his infinite wisdom, bring by the opportunity for you to take up the cross of Christ. Along with Simon, if you're willing to bear the cross of Christ, it will do some things. Three things and we'll be done. One, number one, you're willing to take up the cross of Christ this morning. It will declare our commitment of love to Jesus. Simon was in the crowd and he was there with the lamb and his children and he was willing to do all that outward, that easy. See, kind of easy to do that kind of stuff. Go through the motions, right? Be religious, put a tie on, dress, all that. So good. Here now it says, proof's in the pudding. Are you a Christian? Come take this cross. You willing to do it? Now understand, the Roman soldiers were around, the crowd was around, but he was a part of the crowd. You know what he could have done? He could have just slunk back into the crowd and said, oh, not me, but let somebody else do it. But by him stepping up, it declared his commitment. He wasn't there just to give a lamb sacrifice. He wasn't there just to educate his children. He was there to grow closer to Christ. He wanted his commitment with God to be encouraged and grow and develop. And so when he left that place, he could go home and tell all that God had done. That's what church is all about too. We come to church to get encouraged. We come to church to realize the things that we need to do. And if we step out and do those things, that we can be encouraged and encourage other people. The need to bear the cross does not require us to die physically, but to die to self. As Romans 12, 1, I've already quoted, the sacrifice, our life, our plans, because our love for Christ is so great that I'm willing to do whatever I need to. I'm going to step out and I'm going to let everybody know that that's my God. That's my God. And I'm willing to bear his cross. I'm willing to take his cross. Now, understand in that mind of Simon, I can't tell you, but I can speculate. I can't tell you for sure, but speculate. Can you just speculate what was going through his mind? Hey, they're going to crucify me too. They're going to take me as one that's willing to do it. And I know someone said they made him, but they just compelled him. I think oftentimes the world today is asking us, are you really a Christian? Put up or shut up. You're really a Christian? Well, show me the money. Let me see it. Let me see the Christianity in your life. Let me see the forgiveness. Let me see the sacrifice. Let me see the commitment. Let me see your love for one another. Let me see that love that tells the truth, even though it offends. Ouch. By the way, loving somebody doesn't mean that you don't tell them that what they're wearing is terrible. So who lied to that person? Somebody lied to them. Simon stepped out. In John 15, verse 12, it says, this is my commandment, that you love one another. As I have loved you, greater love hath no man than this. And a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends. If you do whatsoever I've commanded you. Interesting here that we find Simon willing to take up that cross. The world watches the church today. They see if we're going to bear our cross at times, but our cross at times is a simple, easy cross. Our cross is just getting up and coming to church. You know, maybe we'll make it back tonight if we got time. And our cross is, yeah, we'll give a little bit of money. Our cross is just, hey, I'm glad I'm going to heaven when I die. Hallelujah. Amen. God's good. And our cross is sticking a bumper sticker on the back of our car saying, look at me. I got a sign of the fish. But God's saying, hey, that's all fine. And you still can be saved and stay there. But God don't want us to stay there. Why? Because there's a whole lot more to the Christian walk. I don't know about you, but I can watch roller coasters on TV and get sick, right? But imagine if you get on the roller coaster yourself. It's probably not a very good illustration, but you get my idea here. I believe most folks are in need to take the cross of Christ the first time. And once they take the cross of Christ the first time, you'll see the commitment, their eyes will change, their heart will change. The cross of Christ is an ultimate sign of unselfishness. It's a sign of real love. The cross of Christ is what brought Simon to the Passover to follow the rules, and then the world wanted to see if he loved God. And if he was going to love God, he's going to take up that other cross. You love God? Simon loved Christ. Here's the interesting fact is that Simon wanted to help the burden of Christ. You know what the burden of Christ was? It was souls. It wasn't that piece of wood on his back. It was souls. But he needed help to take that piece of wood to Calvary so that he could die for the souls of man. It's very simple to understand that Simon, he put aside everything and he realized that I need to do this. I love you. He had to leave the crowd. He had to leave the world. He had to stop being a spectator. Amen and amen. He had to stop. He had to stop himself from saying, well, hey, everybody, let somebody else do it. They're stronger men and younger men. And I've got my children here. Don't you understand? But no, he said, I want to love the Lord. In that stepping out, you know what he was saying? Hey, I trust you, God, and everything. I trust you. When you take the cross of Christ, it'll change you. It'll change how you think on things. How is it that we declare our love for Christ? Do you live a life to see souls saved? Or are we so comfortable, complacent, and easily offended at anything anybody says? Simon was compelled to take the cross. His love for God constrained him to. And we see that commitment that he makes. And you talk to preachers and other people, workers in the church, and they'll say, what is wrong? What's wrong with our church? Why are we growing? They say, nobody wants to commit to nothing. Nobody does. Same way at our church. I don't know how it is here. I see a good crowd here this morning. You're going out reaching people. That's wonderful. But I'm sure there's some people in the sound of my voice that needs to commit. And can I tell you, it's going to be hard to commit without taking up the cross of Christ. You'll never commit until you take up your cross, salvation. But if you're going to do any more growing, if you're going to do any more development, you need to take up the cross of Christ. You know why? Because it is in a symbolic form getting you so close to what he went through. I wish I had another 2 hours. But let me just, if you just might close your eyes and think about when he went down and he grabbed hold of that cross. What happened to him? He felt a burden of the wood. He felt the splinters. But I believe he felt the blood. He felt the warm blood of our Savior going up against his face and down his back, for our Savior's back was ripped to shreds and he was bleeding profusely even before he got on the cross. Can I tell you that Simon got closer to Christ that day spiritually, but he got closer to Christ physically. And can I tell you what is the commitment we need to make today where we can get closer to Christ physically is getting this book, praise God. And let this book be the light of your light and let it be something you read and digest every single day. Let no man, woman, boy, or girl, a football game, baseball game, any extracurricular activity keep you from the book. And don't let no TV show keep you from the book. Simon was constrained, and you know what I find? That he declared his love for the Lord. But you know what it also did is when Simon took that cross, he changed his commitment. And when we change our commitment to be more for Christ than the world, it unites our plans with God's plans. That's point number two. It unites our plans with God's plans. How is it that people could get on a mission field? You ever thought about that? How is that person? Why do they want to carry all them 12 kids to the mission field? Isn't that most missionaries today? How does that person want to quit that job making six figures and step out and do something for the Lord Jesus? Well, they took up the cross of Christ. You take up the cross of Christ, you say, God's going to be my banker. God's going to be the one to take care of me now, not me. Simon, when he stepped out, it changed his commitment. It grew it to where he united his plans with God's plans. You see, Simon had his day planned out. Have you thought about that? He knew what he was going to do. He was there. He probably had his, if he had an iPod back then, a scratch pad or something, said, hey, you know, at this time we're going to do this and this time we're going to do that. Boys, we'll go to the early pre-McDonald's restaurant later and we'll do all this stuff. You know, I'm trying to get you to laugh, do something. Amen. We know we're going to do all. He had his schedule. He had it planned out. He had his kids to sacrifice, but God wanted his life to be of greater importance. Can I declare to you today, this morning, church, is that when you take up the cross of Christ, nobody else may see it, but you'll know your life is greater of importance because you've gone closer to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You've sensed the presence of the Holy One on you and in you, and you're wanting to reflect Him even more. He united his plan with God's plans. He had already been pretty close to God. He was there, but God wanted him even closer. How about that? And the world says, come on, take it. Have you ever been compelled by the world to say something for Christ? You know, you're in a crowd of people and somebody uses bad language. You're amongst people that are religious but not Christians. They do things wrong and they're kind of looking at you. What if he's going to say anything? Or the preacher's coming. Has anybody ever compelled you? Here, Simon was compelled and he stepped out. It changed his plan. The world calls out the church and compels us to take up the cross. We're supposed to be different. You know why? The people that are lost going down up this road right now, during church service or during meetings where there's cars in the parking lot, they're wondering, what's going on over there? Hey, they're worshiping that God, Jesus. Hallelujah. They're worshiping. But you know what happens? They go around churches during church times and there's nobody there. Their God must not be worth much. Or they've just dumbed him down to where we can just do whatever we want to do and still just claim him. It's a sad thing, but that's what happens. He steps out. Simon steps out, and when he did, it united his plans with God's plans. He says, you know what? My life is not my life. I'm going to give my life to you. I'm going to unite it with you. And God, what is your plan? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9:16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. You know, Paul was saying, hey, we need to do this thing willingly. Preachers should never have to twist your arm to take up the cross of Christ. The world knew that he is a religious guy, but they wanted to see him as a righteously devoted Christian. Have you ever heard people say, put up or shut up? Is there proof in the pudding? Someone explain that to me later. I don't understand that one. Proof in the pudding, but you know what I'm getting at. How did Simon prove his faith? Keeping the law or loving Christ? Now, some of you theologians, you know what I'm talking about. How did he prove? He could have sat back and said, I'm just going to prove my love by keeping the law. Look how righteous I am. I'm here with my children and my lamb, and we're going to celebrate the Passover. I don't need to get mixed up with this person. The gore and the gut, oh, I don't know. But he said, I'm going to show my love by following Christ's plan for his life, not to be crucified physically, but just to carry the cross. He shows his commitment of love and his willingness to change his plans. Here's a story real quick. I don't have much time. I want to finish this. There was a renowned artist named Paul Gustav Dor. He died in 1883. Most of you know him, right? You have him on Facebook? No. But he lost his passport while traveling through Europe. And when he came to a border crossing, he explained his predicament to one of the guards, and giving his name to the official, Dor hoped that he would be recognized and allowed to pass. The guard, however, said that many people attempt to cross the border by claiming to be someone that they were not. Dor insisted that he was the man he claimed. He said, all right, said the official, we'll give you a test. If you pass it, we'll allow you to go through. Handing him a pencil and a sheet of paper, he told this renowned artist to sketch several peasants standing nearby. Dor did it quickly and skillfully, that the guard was convinced that he indeed was the man he claimed to be. His work confirmed His word. Oh, my church, if you are still willing to live like you did when you just took up your cross, it's time for you to come to the cross of Christ and say, hey, I want something a little bit closer to Jesus. Hey, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm going to heaven, but I want something a little bit closer. I want to be acquainted with his sufferings. I want to be acquainted with his power. I want to know in whom I believe so it will persuade me that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Our commitment and Simon's commitment in bearing the cross will do this last thing, and I hope I can do it. I'll finish this in just a few minutes. And this is the most important thing. Simon taking this cross, you and I taking the cross of Christ, will lead people to Calvary. It led people to Calvary. He took the cross and he picked it up and he headed to Golgotha. And you know who followed? The crowd that said, pick it up. Don't get too excited. Just hold back. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing? What's the difference between soul winners and those that don't? That soul winner has picked up the cross of Christ. And when you pick up the cross of Christ, you're elevating the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. You're saying, God, I love you dearly. I'm committed to you. I'm declaring for you. Hallelujah. I'm showing you, God, that I love you more than life itself. You changed my plans. I'm giving my life to thee. And Lord, I'll go where you tell me to go. And I'll stay where you tell me to stay. And I'll do whatever you tell me to do because you are worthy. You see here this morning that Simon took the cross because he loved Christ, because he was willing to change his plans, because he wanted to go to Calvary. Too often, churchgoers take their cross, but they failed to take up Christ. A real indicator of those who have not taken his cross is not leading people to Calvary. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to just get you to see. He said, man, I've never led anybody to the Lord. It's time to take up the cross. Simon hadn't led anybody to the Lord either until then that we know of. He was just teaching his children of the law. The ceremony of anniversary stuff. Hey, Passover, we're supposed to celebrate the Passover. You know how we celebrate the Passover there? Right there at the communion table. Y'all going to do it? Things have changed now. We don't have to go sacrifice a lamb. Hallelujah. But Simon said, I want something more. He could have said no, couldn't he not? He could have shrunk back into the crowd, could he have not? And God would have still loved him and God would have still took him to heaven. But he said, I want something closer. I want to be closer to Christ. I want to win people. Simon loved God and he took the cross. I want you to see what he did too. He left his family. Nowhere does it say he took Alexander Rufus with him. Now, did they follow? I would think they did. You know what that's saying? He had to trust Christ that God's going to take care of his family. You know what keeps most of us from doing anything for God? I just don't know if my family's going to go. I just don't know. Not that I'm saying you pack up and you leave them and you just let them. I'm not talking about that. But you have to step out. And when you step out for God, God will take care of all that. So, Lord, I'm going to pick up the cross. You got to take care of my youngins. I'm going to grow closer to you. You got to take care of my family. Well, my wife, my husband, I just don't know. You take up the cross of Christ and it will lead people to Calvary. You know why a lot of folks, a lot of marriages don't even have one husband in church and wife not, or vice versa. A lot of times it's because they just need to see you take up the cross all the time. At our church, I fuss about our people. I say, you can't live one way here and another way at home and expect your kids to come out good. It don't work that way. They see the hypocrisy. And here, Simon was challenged by the world. He accepted that challenge and he took up the cross and he was leading people to Calvary. Taking the cross of Christ shows a desire to be mature, shows a desire to grow. It shows an understanding that there's more to my life than what I have right now. And it will cause us to bear fruit. Christ commands us to grow in John 15:16. It says, ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. There's a wonderful excitement to the cross of Christ. At first, it may seem frightful. It's hard. It can be difficult. At first, it could be heavy, But once you take it, those that you're leading to Calvary, the multitudes that see Christ in you, takes your mind off all that and helps you focus on whom you're doing it for. And why do I do what I do? Is it for the fame? No. Is it for the money? No. Is it for the prestige? No. Why do I do what I do? It's because I love God. Why do I have a home for my wife and I buy things and we provide for and all that? Not because I have to, because I want to, because I want to declare my love. I changed my plans for her. And all you men better do that too for your wife. Amen. But if we lift Christ up together, we'll lead our children to Christ. We'll lead others to Christ. I close today with this thought. John Knox said this, "Give me Scotland or I die." He was burdened for the people of Scotland. Jessup Peck said this, "If my eternal salvation depended on winning 1,000 souls to Christ within the next 10 years, I would not attempt to do it from the pulpit. I would come right down and go after souls." There was a young man, a young woman. J.B. Chapman said, "Make the most of your life." He said, "Go after souls. Go after them the best way you know how, but go after them. Do not listen to those who warn you that you will offend them and drive them away, but by your persistence, go after souls. Go after them by public and private testimony. Go after them by service and by prayer. Go after them. Go after them with a love and burdened heart. Go after them by kind deeds. Go after them by song and by praise. Go after them when they are bereaved and in sorrow. Go after them when they're especially favor of God and men, but go after them. This soul-winning life is your life. Make the most of it." Today, church, do you want to get closer to God? Is your commitment where it needs to be with Christ? Can we look at Simon's life and say, "Lord, I've seen that day that Simon had to bear your cross, and I know the day that I took up your cross, am I closer?" Why not take the cross of Christ? When you say, "Yes, Lord," He's not going to throw you into something you can't handle. He just wants to see if you're willing to do it. He's not here to make it one to see us fail. He's not trying to discourage us. He's wanting us to see that total dependence on Him in the midst of the world is far greater than depending on self living in the world. If we're going to please God in these last days, if Benson Grove Baptist Church is going to reach the 10,000, the 5,000, if this community is going to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ in an unadulterated, in a pure gospel fashion, then it's not just going to be from the few that go out occasionally, but it's going to come from all of us who are Christians taking up the cross of Christ. Would you please stand? With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I ask my wife if she'll come, and she's going to play a little bit as this invitation. I want to give this invitation this morning and ask you something. Have you taken up the cross of Christ? That commitment, I'm sure there's probably a list somewhere in this church that needs someone to commit. Would you commit to work the nursery? Would you commit to mow the yard? Would you commit to be an usher, a greeter? Would you commit to help in the kitchen? Would you commit to hand out gospel tracts everywhere you go? Hey, I put a gospel, every time I get gas, I put a gospel tract on the gas pump wherever I go. I could at least do that. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, the altar's open, people are coming already. God spoke to your heart about commitment and taking up the cross of Christ. God bless you. Many are coming. Just you and God, just say, "Lord, help me. I want to be more committed to you." How do you do that? Just surrender. "Lord, you've already got down dying daily. You've got that daily. You've taken up your cross daily, but let's take up His cross today." Now, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, maybe you're an older person that's been in church a long time, a younger person, never really heard the gospel, but you think about hell and you don't want to go to hell. You think about Christ. You want to love Christ. The Bible tells us that that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He tells us there's none righteous, no, not one. We're all sinners. And because we're sinners, we deserve hell. We have a sin debt. But he says the wage of the sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you be willing to say, yes, Lord, I confess with my mouth, believe in my heart that God hath raised him from the dead? Will you be willing to call out to God? Anybody here this morning raise their hand and say, preacher, I need to be saved. Would you slip your hand up, man, woman, boy, girl? We won't embarrass you. I'm not going to call you forward. I just want to pray for you. Anybody here said, preacher, I need to be saved. Would you slip your hand up? Boys or girls, men or women? Now, church, I ask you one more question. One more question. Would you slip your hand up and say, Lord, I want to take up your cross today. Would you be willing to do that? That's my, would you slip your hand up? You're willing to take up Christ's cross today. Slip it up. God bless you. Hey, that's all. God, I need to do it. I believed you when you saved me, but I can believe that I can do this. Simon, no doubt, was thinking, oh my, how could I do this? But God gave him the grace.